The Roundtable is where the newsmakers come to talk. Weekday afternoons at 5:45 on The Rush with Ryan and Jay. In-depth radio, News Talk 1010.
Ryan and Jay here on The Rush, 13 minutes away from the most stacked newscast in all of Toronto. Now, dare I say, Canadian radio. Coming up, Dave McKee at 6 o'clock. That is straight ahead. But we now do the roundtable. Christy Blatchford is here. Of course, we saw Christy last night. It was great to see you, Blatch.
Thank you. It was nice to see you guys, too, and all the listeners, of course.
Yeah, what a turnout last night at In-Depth and Interactive. Of course, we had about well over 500 people, by the looks of things. Columnist for the National Post, Christy Blatchford, of course. Amanda Galbraith, principal at Navigator. I understand you were one of the people there, but we didn't get a chance to even see you.
You were very popular. You had lineups, people trying to talk to you, so I didn't want to get in the way.
Yeah, that's probably one of the only places I'll ever have that problem, and it's mainly because of Jay. John Pohl, host of the Pohl Position. You were there as well last night. On stage, I would say.
Oh, I don't even know how they got a chair up there for me. It was wonderful. It was a good time.
Yeah, I was asking for more of like a small cushion, but like or a stool. You got a chair.
It was
you got
good.
A full chair.
Good time.
The World Cup is coming to Canada, and Toronto is ready and willing to play host to as many games as officials see fit, according to Toronto Mayor John Tory. We had a caller to the show, Graham, with Jim Richards today, who put out an interesting point.
Definitely a hardcore soccer thing, but also the reason I asked this because I was amazed when I saw the flags everywhere, and I thought, where are all these flags when Canada's playing the hockey thing? Maybe it's just a soccer thing, you know?
Yep.
But it got me asking the question, and I was actually pretty sad when I heard it.
He's talking basically about the idea of people from other nations who support other nations when there is no World Cup going on. We have a better clip of that. Let's play that one.
I worked with the World Cup a few years ago, and I started asking people, you know, what would happen if theoretically Canada was in? Because people are so hardcore, you know, for their country of origin or their parents' country of origin. I was pretty blown away, and I was actually pretty saddened by how many people said, nope, I'm Portuguese through and through, or no, Germany, man, my family's German.
Christy, of the teams playing in the 2026 games, it's expected that Canada will get an automatic bid for hosting and being one of the three hosts. How do you see that shaken down, though? Do you think people will go back to their roots, or will they fly the red and white proudly?
I don't think it really matters, to be honest. I mean, one of the things that makes us so great in this country is that people do come here from all over the world. I've been to, street parties on St. Clair when Italy was in a World Cup final. The Portuguese go crazy. Everyone goes crazy. And it's not really, I don't see it as a anti-Canadian display of any kind. I see it rather as a celebration of their home countries or, as somebody said, their parents' home countries. I think it's going to be really fun. We have people from every corner of the world in our city. And there can be no better place to host a World Cup game than here.
Let me say, Amanda, this is why I think it does matter, because we had a World Basketball Championship that was played back in the 1990s, where Greece played against Canada. And many people from the Greek community took it upon themselves to boo the Canadian team. So I think it does matter to some degree if you've got one nation, let's say Italy, playing Canada in the first round of the World Cup. People are going to have to pick a side.
Sure. I'm not concerned that Canada will not have fans. I think everyone acknowledges if Canada makes it past whatever, I don't understand the system, but around or whatever goes on will be surprising. So I think it's a great problem to have that we have such a diverse city that, you know, people are cheering for different countries. I don't think Canada has lack of bandwagon fans if everybody wants to join in. But, you know, one of my favorite parts about the municipal election 4 years ago, because these World Cups happen during municipal election campaigns, which is very interesting, is you spend your time and you go to watch the games in the different neighborhoods, and being able to watch it with the Portuguese community and the Greek community and was just a blast. And I know absolutely nothing about soccer other than you kick a ball on the field, and I loved it.
If you ever want to really get to know any particular cultural pocket of your city, watch them drink at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That's very true. John Pohl?
You know, it's interesting because I've learned one thing over the years about soccer, and it's not the game. It's that the fans are insane, and I don't think you're going to get people to change their allegiance to their teams because soccer has a huge loyalty factor. But I think the people that will be cheering for Canada are people like Amanda and I who know nothing about soccer, so we'll be like, go Canada.
Yeah.
Vegas made it to the Cup. Maybe we can too. And once they're booted out, we'll join everybody else in the fun. I don't expect people to be taking Canada's side on this. Let's be honest, soccer is not our strength.
Let's talk a little bit about the Ontario Federation of Labour. They're out today asking Doug Ford, the Premier designate, to keep the promise of the government of the day, let's say of yesterday, $15 minimum wage as of 2019. Christy, of course, the minimum wage went from $11.60 to $14 an hour under the former government. When you're Doug Ford in a situation like this, do you listen to the unions or do you just ignore them outright, knowing that your base got you here and you should really just kind of do what you said you were going to do?
I think you should meet the union people, certainly, and hear them out. Maybe they can make a good case for another increase to the minimum wage. I think you owe it to them to take their concerns seriously. But you're right. I mean, he wasn't shy about saying that he wasn't going to approve of the, I think he said this anyway, of the next round of hikes. So it's not a surprise. And the world changes when different governments get elected. Then the unions may have to suck it up.
Amanda, do you think that's going to be the outcome here?
I think that Ford, we had a study out today where I work about this stuff. And one of the interesting things that came back was how price conscious and how concerned people were when they voted about how much things cost. And one of the drivers of that was the minimum wage increases. Like, prices went up all over the place. And yes, people want to make a good wage, but the degree to which it sped up quickly was a real challenge. So I think like a measured, balanced approach, which is saying, you know, we'll keep the increases to date. We'll take a look at the other stuff. And, you know, the income tax cuts he's proposing are quite hefty and will make a big difference. And with respect to the Federation of Labor, I mean, they're welcome to issue ultimatums till like the cows come home. They're just kind of yelling into the wind and frankly saying, I've demanded a meeting the day the guy was elected and you have until the 29th, probably isn't a good way to approach
as long as
the new premier.
As long as those are unionized cows coming home.
True. Only unionized cows.
John Paul, it would be something to see Premier Doug Ford stand up at a podium and say, I'm going to respect the $15 increase or the $15 minimum wage in 2019.
I think a lot of people would be shocked if that took place. I think the correct answer, if I was the premier, would be I'm going to do my best to get to $15. But before we commit to that, let's look at what the current effect are from going from $11 and whatever it was to $14. Let's actually do a little bit of time because if we wait 6, 8, 18 months, that's not going to change anyone's life drastically. But let's make sure the business owners are liking what's happening. I mean, we've heard the stories about Canada Day celebrations being canceled because the traditional small business owner that sponsors it can't afford to sponsor it. They can't afford the security, the beer increases. So there is a time period we need here to adjust. I think the majority of business owners, small and big, are not opposed to paying their people more, but we need to work it into the system, and it can't be as abrupt as it was. The idea was good, the implementation terrible.
We got a lot of reaction this afternoon to this story of a 47-year-old man born in Nigeria, moved to Canada with his family back in the 1990s. A few years after that, he becomes a Canadian citizen, and next thing you know, he's involved in some sort of sweep by the Canadian Border Services Agency. He gets detained, he tries to show his health card, his citizenship card. They say that he is somebody he is not. He spends 8 months behind bars while they try to figure this out and investigate. The Canadian Border Services Agency, now that this man is suing for $10 million, says, we're not going to comment on this. Christy, this is an unbelievable story. And if it is true, the way it breaks down in the articles in front of me, this man deserves $10 million, if not more.
I think the question, though, is it true? And how legitimate were the concerns about who he was? His fingerprint apparently matched somebody else. Now, if the CBSA can prove this at trial, then I think that changes the picture quite drastically. I mean, under one of those names, I believe, this person, and I can't now remember, I read the story, but I can't remember, has had previous convictions for fraud, offenses involving fraud, at least. And, you know, you send a fingerprint in, you're pretty assured that when the RCMP sends it back and says, yeah, this belongs to Christy Blatchford, that it's Christy Blatchford. And if it isn't, how long does it take you to find that out? What troubles me most about it, I suppose, is why he needed to be in jail this whole time. He was a small business owner. I mean, I think they could have kept a sharp eye on him or placed him under some sort of reporting conditions and let him still live his life.
Yeah, Amanda, that's exactly my point here. Like, it's not just the 8 months in jail, which I think is atrocious, but the fact that they had to put him in jail while they tried to figure all of this out, rightly or wrongly. You know, if this guy was in the wrong, okay, I understand, but you could watch him differently than this.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing just seems incredibly odd. Like, it just smells fishy to me. I don't know. I mean, the government clamming up could either be because they really messed up or there's lots of stuff happening behind the scenes that we don't know. I think regardless, you know, the incarceration of people temporarily while we're not sure if they're guilty or not and how that has a tremendous effect, negative effect on their lives is you know, is something I think we need to take a look at. I actually had a very crazy experience. I was going through the border and they stopped me and they were like, have you ever been stopped before with someone with a similar name? And I was like, no. Have you ever been flagged? No. So there's someone who has the exact same name as me and a birth date within a couple days. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you may get stopped. You may get pulled into secondary. If you do, make sure to make them look at your birth date because you could be mistaken for this person who has been flagged in our system for X, Y. Well, didn't tell me what, but bad stuff. So sure. Like someone like me, I was like, wait a minute. I've been a law abiding citizen my entire life. So that kind of mistaken identity, we all kind of have near brushes. I think, you know, we need to be careful.
Interesting that they actually gave you the heads up. When I read about this story and we find that this guy ended up on psychiatric meds, he ended up on suicide watch. Mm-hmm. He was crying for over a month. You would think at some point someone might have wanted to reach out and check his story. So I'm kind of with everybody else. There might be more to this, but it certainly doesn't seem like there's at this point.
John Paul?
You know, it's interesting. I think he's asking for $10 million, and certainly you always ask more and try and negotiate down, but that number seems ridiculous. It's not worth over $1 million a month, because if it's true and it took 8 months, that 8 months is not acceptable, but maybe a month is acceptable for them to figure it out. He shouldn't get that much money. I think.
What? You're telling me if this story is absolutely 100% the way it is written, you don't
think... $10 million's too much.
Come on, John.
It's too much.
His entire life was ruined. He wasn't able to contact his family.
Let's be honest. My relationship with my kids is ruined. In 8 months, I'm not buying that. Look, I'm not saying he shouldn't get something if it's true. I don't think he should get $10 million.
Oh, I would love to lock you up for 8 months and see what it's like at the end of it all.
Little bit less. But it is a crazy story. And my question would be, why? What? Like, seriously, Facebook just sent me a notification that someone I don't know posted a picture of me last night at the In-Depth and Interactive. And it sent it to my my text, and I was like, "Wow, Facebook found me in 25 seconds. How come we can't figure out who this guy is?" Like, it just seems to me that that's way too long.
Well, and that's my point. I mean, you do time in Maplehurst in the Central East Correctional Center. Those are not lovely places to just hang out in for 8 months.
No, but if you're going to get paid $1 million a month, you might,
Christy.
Didn't he own his own business too? Which
yeah,
he totally lost. He owned a hair salon.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's egregious, too. I absolutely do your due diligence, find out who he is, but go to a court, ask for some sort of, bail-type condition placed upon him and with a reporting requirement, and that's fine. If he's the honest broker that he appears to be, then he would have followed those conditions.
Yep, 100%. Christy, thank you so much. Christy Blatchford from the National Post. John Paul from the Poll Position. I won't lock you up, don't worry.
I don't have that authority. Locked up sometimes.
There you go. That's a whole other issue. Amanda Galbraith, thank you so much.
Thank you. Don't miss.